Holy Spirit, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we give all the praise and the honor and the glory to you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Well, let me see. I'm still pretty much on my same subject that I have been on for a while, but it is important. And this, my subject is living in the favor of God and knowing that God's blessings are always available to us. You hear me? God's blessings are always available to us. That is, if we would abide by what he is saying. In other words, if I want to enjoy God's blessings, then I got to keep his word. Amen. I've got to keep his word. I can't just live any kind of way and expect the blessings of God to be at work in my life. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus said something that's very interesting. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Didn't he?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Praise God. And you have to understand that this life that we live today is a life of faith. Did you grab a hold of that? It's a life of faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Faith says, I believe, even though I don't see it. I believe, therefore I don't feel it, but I still believe what God has promised me.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you have been to heaven already? Well, don't see any hands. And I know you might think that's a ridiculous question to ask, but I'm making a point. Let me ask you this question. I'm asking it a different way. How many of you believe you're going to heaven when you leave here? Yeah, glory to God. We've never been to heaven. We haven't seen heaven, but we are convinced that when we leave this earth, we're going to heaven. Why are we so sure? It's because we believe what he said. We believe what the Bible says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hallelujah. And the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Jesus has prepared a place for me and for you. And it's in good hands. It's in good hands. Why? Because I'm a child of God and Jesus says, I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. So whatever you do, you continue to walk by faith and believe God. read his word, and we're going to deal with some of that if I get that for today. But you read his word and you believe what you read. Get it in your spirit. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but let's go to the word of God. Amen. Now, last week, we talked about one of the ways to walk in the favor of God and enjoy the favor of God is through our giving. Is that right? I said, is that right?
Amen.
Amen. It's through our giving, or by way of our giving. Now, I want to minister to you some things that's very, very important in walking in the favor of God, enjoying the blessings of God. Amen. Not saying you won't have trials. Matter of fact, the word of God says those that choose to live right and it will suffer persecution. People gonna talk about you. Amen. Anybody been talked about since you've been saved? Let me ask that question a different way. Anybody been talked about because you're saved? Yeah. I think probably all of us can testify to that. People saying unkind things to us because we love Jesus. So you have to deal with things in life, but you can still walk in the favor of God, live in the blessings of God. But in order to do this, like I've said already, you must really get to know God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to get to know him better by way of his word and by fellowshipping with him individually. Now, what we need to do is develop a hunger for God. Develop a hunger for God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. See, we got to understand what's important in life. Amen. I'm just trying to decide where I want to begin reading. Paul, here in the third chapter of Philippians, talked about his life, things that he had accomplished naturally. For example, verse 5 says that, well, let's back up to verse 4. He said, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. In other words, he's saying, I've accomplished a lot naturally. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. He's talking about himself. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But now listen to what he says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowing let me back up again, start over. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Can I tell you something before I read on? Too many times, and sometimes the church is to blame for this, but too many times we put so much emphasis on worldly accomplishments that we forget God. I'm not against accomplishing things. Amen? I mean, we have some of you in here. We have teachers in here. We have doctors in here. What else do we have in here? I mean, you've accomplished some things in your life, right? Amen. And that's a good thing. Amen? And hopefully, it's making you a very good living. God has blessed your efforts. But you got to understand something. Whatever you may have accomplished, Jesus has got to be first. Amen. God's got to be first. Hallelujah. Thank God for your accomplishments. All the plaques that you may have on your wall, thank God for that. When you can look back and you can give God the glory for what he has done in your life. Amen. But Jesus has still got to be number one. Do you know that God does not lack second place? Even under the law, Ten Commandments, what did he say? You shall not have no other God before me. He said, because I'm a jealous God. Amen. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I'm a jealous God. Jesus touched on that when he told us that we cannot serve God and money, because one of them will become more important to us than the other. You probably know people like that. Hopefully you're not like that. But all they're concerned about is money, 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 money. I gotta go make more money, more money, more money. God is your source.
Amen.
And if we, all of us, if we'll do what God says do, the money will come. Like Minister Tony shared with you, you know, if we obey God's word and tithe and give, God's going to bless us back. God's going to bless us back. But you don't want to lay in your bed at night and sweat because you're not a millionaire yet. You may not ever be a millionaire. But this one thing I do know, my God is more than enough.
Yes.
Now, if he blesses you to be a millionaire, praise God and honor him with your wealth. If someone walked up to me and says, Pastor, here's $1 million, I'm not going to turn it away. But I tell you one thing, it would never become my God. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, glory. So, he said, I'm back at verse 8. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence, oh, I love that word, excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Now, let me throw something in here because, you know, sometimes folks can twist things, and I've had people come back to me and say, you know, you said this, and I, you know, you said that, and I'm thinking, I know I didn't. I didn't say that. You know what? The Bible also says if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you, unless you're retired, or if you have the ability to work, guess what you need to do?
Work.
Everybody say work.
Work.
See, that's a good four-letter word. Amen. Because I've been saved a long time, and I've heard a lot, experienced a lot, seen a lot. And, you know, some folks, especially when I was a younger Christian, talk about, man, I don't think I want to work. I think I'm just going to stay home and pray and you know, and believe God, and he'll bring it in. No, you get out of the house and go to work.
Amen.
Then you give God something to work with. Amen.
Amen.
I could say so much more about that, but I'm going to leave it alone for now. But he says he sought after the excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus. He said, of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by what?
Faith.
Glory to God. Now, this is where I'm going. I read all that, but this is where I'm going right here. That I may what?
Know.
Say that again.
Know.
That I may know him. Not only just know him, but the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And listen at this. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I'm ready to suffer with him because he suffered for me. And when I say suffer, I'm not talking about physical sickness either. Amen. Because by his stripes we are healed. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Am I right? Amen. That's not the suffering Paul is talking about. He's talking about the suffering because he's a believer in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm willing to suffer. As a matter of fact, Jesus told him that he would have to suffer some things because of his faith, especially because of his background as a Jew in being under the law, teaching the law and so forth. Let me read to you verse 10. I want you to get this and we'll move on. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Our hunger should be to know him better. Let me say that again. Our hunger should be to know him better. Paul had a hunger to know him better. He said, it doesn't matter what I have to go through, what I have to deal with, I want to know him better because it's such excellent knowledge to know him. And not just to know him, but experience the power of his resurrection. Glory to God. But that don't just happen, folks. We have to work at it. I say we have to work at it.
Amen.
Turn to John chapter 17, the Gospel of John, 17th chapter. Hallelujah. John chapter 17, listen at this. I begin reading at verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may what?
No.
That they may what?
No.
That they may know you, the only. Everybody say true God. This is the gospel, folks. Let me read verse 3 again because you need to get this on the inside of you. This is his prayer for all of us. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Let me tell you something. If you are bouncing back and forth and you are not sure, you don't know him. He is the only true God. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I added that, whom you have sent. Let me read it in its entirety without my addition. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Get to know him. There's a lot going on right now. And I'm reminded of what the Word of God says, that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. When the shaking comes, and some of it's already began, it's already here, when the shaking comes, will you be able to stand? Because you know him. When the doubters come, are you going to still be standing? The Apostle Paul knew Jesus. And none of them could move him away from his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus. When those who you thought knew God stray away, are you going to stray too? Are you going to question this holy word? Well, you know what? When you have fellowship with him, when you're in fellowship with him, if you do what he says, the winds may blow. The storms may come, but you will still be standing. Because you know him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You still with me?
Amen.
The next question I want to ask you. What are you feeding on? What are you feeding on? It must be God's word. And it must be God's word rightly divided. Rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2:15. Most of you know this verse. Probably can quote it by heart, but I want to go there anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. All right. Everybody look up on at the screen for a moment. I want you to read verse 15 out loud, because Rena, I'm having you look up here because you may have different versions of the Bible that you're reading from. I want us all to be saying the same thing on three. Read it out loud, let it come from inside of you on three. One, two, three.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, I want to tell you something. You want to be approved by God? You want to walk in God's favor? Are you here? Then you must be a worker who's not ashamed, but a worker rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, we live by the Old Testament. We you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament are important to us. Amen. That's part of our holy word. My Bible has the Old Testament in it, and my Bible has the New Testament. Amen. But as believers, listen, y'all ready for this? As believers in Christ Jesus, we must approach the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, because we have a better covenant that are established upon better promises. Amen. And you need to read your entire Bible. But any new Christian that I have an opportunity to speak into their lives, I always recommend that they read the New Testament. And sometimes I send them to the Psalms first to kind of get them established. It's okay to get over into the begats, but you need to understand that the Son of God that had been preached and prophesied about all through the Old Testament, he's here now. He came. He died. He rose again from the dead, and he's now seated at the right hand of God. He's now our high priest. And his spirit lives on the inside of us.
Yes.
Is anybody here today?
Amen.
His spirit is alive on the inside of us. We are told to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Amen.
The law was a school teacher, a schoolmaster, to keep the people in check, keep them on the right path until Jesus came.
Amen.
And Jesus says, he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. He is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm just going over some of the Old Testament law. But Jesus said, this is what I tell you. If you would do this, you would keep the 10 and all the other laws. If you would do this, if you would love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and if you love him, you're not going to have any other gods before him, because you love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And he said, I got another one just like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. And if I love my neighbor like I love myself, I'm not going to steal from my neighbor. I'm not going to go after what belongs to my neighbor. Because I've been called by God to love him, to love her.
Amen.
Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if we'll live by those commandments that Jesus said and do his word, we'll automatically keep the old.
Amen.
Because we now have a better covenant that's established upon better promises. And our covenant is a love covenant. It's a love covenant. Amen. Because I love my God, I want to do what pleases him. Can I tell you something else? Because I love my brothers. If you're my brother, raise your hand. I hope you're not ashamed to have me. Take your hand down. I'm talking to the guys. I didn't make that clear. Okay. And you ladies are not my brothers anyway. Y'all be my sisters. All right, guys. If you are my brother, raise your hand. Amen. Now you see, keep your hands up. These are my brothers, because these are brothers in the Lord. Amen. Amen. You brothers in the Lord. You know something? Because you are my brother, I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. Because you are my brother, if you're married, I'm not going after your wife. Oh, let me say that again. You may be married, but because you're my brother, well, two reasons. Number one, I love God, because I'd be disobeying God. You can put your hand down. I'd be disobeying God. So I'm not going after your wife. I'm not going to chase your wife because I love God. And I'm not going to chase your wife because I love you.
Amen.
Well, don't the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not commit adultery? If I love you, I'm not going to intentionally do something to hurt you.
Amen.
And if I happen to miss it, I'm going to apologize to you.
Amen.
Or if you feel like I've hurt you in any way, I'm wide open. Come talk to me.
Amen.
Because I don't want to be anything, I don't want there to be anything between us, because we're family.
Amen.
You hear me? We family.
Amen.
Now I promise you, I ain't gonna preach everything you want to hear. But if it's in the Bible, rightly divided, I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So, number one, like I said, we need to feed on God's word, rightly divided. And number two is, when we feed on God's word, the second thing will happen. Our mind will get renewed. Our mind will get renewed. God's word teaches us how to think.
Amen.
How we ought to think. Turn to Romans chapter 12. You probably know where I'm going there. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that's what Paul did. That's what he did. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the second thing?
Holy.
What else?
Acceptable
to God. Brothers and sisters, please listen to me. I know there's a lot of stuff being preached out there, but I got to tell you the truth. You just can't live just any kind of way. God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. But I mean, if you're sleeping around, God's not pleased with that. This sex thing, sometimes people want to tiptoe around that, but we need to do what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. In other words, that's what we ought to be doing.
Amen.
Look at verse 2. And do not, everybody say do not.
Do not.
Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
And do not be conformed to this world, but what?
Be transformed.
How is that going to happen? How? We act the way we think. Our acts is a result of our thinking. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now listen at this. That you may what? Prove what is that? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Amen.
We need to be able to say, glory to God, I'm living proof
Amen.
Of what God wants.
Amen.
We love God, all that's within us, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And of course, we know that we're all growing spiritually, aren't we?
Amen.
None of us have arrived yet, right?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, if you have arrived, you know, I had a person tell me one time that you know, they kind of, you know, they arrived, they don't need the Bible. It's been a long time ago. Nobody said that recently. But if anybody ever tell you that, you better get away from them. Because as long as we're on this earth, we're going to be learning and we're going to be maturing.
Amen.
Glory to God. I want God to say to me when I stand before Him, and all of us will stand before Him, I'm going to have to stand before Him and give account to Him for what every word that I preached to you and taught you over the past almost 39 years, in a few months, about 3 months from now, if I'm not mistaken, about 39 years worth of preaching and teaching, I'm going to have to give an account to God for that. But you know what I want Him to say to me? You know, because I told you before. It begins with, well. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I have so many of you, and I thank you. God bless you. Oh, and it really blesses my heart. And I have many of you tell me, Pastor, you've been a blessing to me. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you, you know, for everything. And of course, I say, you welcome to God. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. And we need to encourage one another. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Yeah, we need to encourage one another. Amen. Even preachers need encouragement. Amen. Thank you for your encouragement. But you know, the really big thing is what God has to say to me and to you. Amen.
Amen.
Because you can say, you're great, you're great, you're great. But God sees me when I'm in the sanctuary. He sees me when I'm at home. He sees me when I'm on the road. He's with me all the time. So I appreciate every good thing you say. But I work hard to make sure that He tells me, well done.
Amen.
That's what I want to hear from Him. That's my goal. It should be yours too.
Amen.
Amen. Now don't get me wrong, not everybody say good things about me. I'll just let you know right now. People been talking about me ever since I got saved. People talk about you because you don't act the way they think you ought to act. Do the things they think you ought to do. Say the things they think you ought to say. But I don't dwell on that stuff.
Amen.
My focus is on Him.
Amen.
Amen. I should be preaching to the choir, am I?
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory be to God. So we need to, I'm getting ready to close for the day, but we need to feed on God's word, rightly divide it, let it renew our mind, and let it feed our spirit. The word of God is spirit food. Let it feed your spirit. You can please God with your life. Listen, some folks think, well, if I live right, that's just bondage, bondage. No, Jesus has delivered you from bondage.
Amen.
We've been set free.
Amen.
Therefore, when the flesh want to rise up and say, I want to do this, I want to do that, you take authority over that flesh and say, no, you're not. You're not going to hate her. You're not going to hate him. You're not going to talk bad about her. You're not going to. That's what you want to do. You just want to cut them down and chew them up. But no. Jesus said, pray for them.
Amen.
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 Father, we thank you for your word. May we please you with our life. Every day of our life. Bringing glory and honor to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. First of all, I want to speak to our viewing audience. And I always extend to you, those of you that's viewing and don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I always extend this invitation to you to invite Jesus into your life. When Nicodemus came to Jesus and began to compliment him because he was a great teacher, what Jesus told Nicodemus was, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. That is the most important thing. That is your first step in entering into the family of God. You must be born again. It has to come before your works or anything else. You must be born again. That's what gets you to heaven when you leave this earth. You must be born again. So I extend this invitation to you. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, cares so much for you. He gave his life for you. But he rose again for you also. And he wants to come into your life and be a part of your life. If you just invite him into your life, if you're willing to do that, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus,